Run the track!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh, no!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes, you can email Christy and I, and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
If my mom's birthday wasn't on Facebook, I probably wouldn't know it. But
I don't know my husband's phone number by heart, but I remember the lyrics to like every 80s song.
Right, yeah. I woke up singing a Limp Bizkit song in my head all day, and the worst part was it was like a deep cut. It wasn't like one of the hits. It's like
it's super embarrassing for you.
It's real bad.
That's rough. I was watching an old TRL. Remember TRL?
Oh, yeah.
I was watching an old TRL clip on YouTube where their Limp Bizkit was on, and they were on a spring break island.
Uh-huh.
And for the breakdown of their set, for the breakdown of one of their songs, they blew up a boat. Like Looney Tunes style, like a box.
Really?
And they're like, y'all ready to blow this boat up? And I think the idea was like, now we can never leave this island. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, gotcha. Right. Could you imagine? Like, that was probably cool back then, but could you imagine being stuck on an island with Limp Bizkit now?
Oh my God. No.
It's like not worse than
now,
Lost. Like,
next up, Creed. No.
Yeah, 17 years on an island.
With Fred Durst.
Fred Durst.
Running lyrics by you.
He won't stop rapping.
he just keeps writing raps on coconut paper.
The guitar player refuses to take out those contacts. It's like you're kind of old now.
Oh man!
I'm convinced like this. They got back together for a reunion tour, and I'm convinced it wasn't the original guitar player.
Oh, that'd be so easy,
right? It's just a dude in like weird costumes and shit, right? But they were really excited about their reunion tour, and I know a lot about Limp Bizkit. That's really weird. But
yeah,
but they got booed off stage already, so they just had to cancel the tour.
Oh, good.
Could you imagine?
People went to their reunion tour just to boo them off stage.
$40 Yeah, I would do it.
It's kind of like you're booing everybody in high school you didn't like. It's like a therapy session.
Therapy is $180 an hour or $40 for a Limp Bizkit, and you get to hear break stuff.
Yeah. And they may or may not blow something up Looney Tunes style.
We talked about it on the show a few weeks ago. Brian Buckley is our guest, by the way. We already started. So.
Okay, yeah, I figured. I saw the squiggly lines.
We talked about it, but there was somebody had set up an internet prank where they were like Limp Bizkit's performing at the Sunco gas station
in Dayton, Ohio.
And it went like viral, and all these people like it was very funny.
That became like a trend on Facebook. Like this band playing, like there was this punk band that was from the 70s called Crass. They were like, oh, they're playing SeaWorld. Right. They're like real animal rightsy kind of band,
right?
So they said like 100,000 people going.
Amazing.
Now, Brian, are you an old punk rock guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like to call myself old.
No, but like from the old school, not like Blink 182 punk rock.
No, 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 no.
Not like Justin's
punk
rock.
Deep.
Right.
Yeah. Deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not, you're not the Justin Foster brand of punk rock.
No, or most Southern California people. Are you Southern California?
No, I'm Dallas.
Dallas.
But for some reason, I latched on to early 2005 MySpace pop punk bands, and just like unapologetically love all of them. Yeah, I'm actually going to Taste of Chaos on Saturday.
I don't even know what that is.
It's Taking Back Sunday, the Get Up Kids, Dashboard Confessional.
And I saw all three of those bands just because I had a crush on three different girls.
Yeah.
That's definitely how you do it.
I remember I saw Get Up Kids and I was like, I don't think I like her this much. I really don't.
you're definitely at least getting to second base at a Taking Back Sunday concert.
Yeah. Oh,
if
yeah.
You put that bill, yeah. You're definitely. Yeah.
Dashboard is anal, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Laura.
I went to a Dave Matthews concert with, and that was hard. Oof. That was real bad. Yeah. Yeah. Oof. I would rather sit through, again, a Taking Back Sunday concert. I would enjoy that, but yeah. Dave Matthews was very painful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And we had second row tickets.
Yeah.
And I still couldn't get past how awful it was.
No, that seems worse.
Yeah. 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 Really closer terrible. You are.
In your face.
Yes.
I'd rather be way further away.
You're right. You're right. At least in the lawn, you can kind of distract yourself.
They only play places with lawns, don't they?
Yeah. They
the
do.
Whole front row is empty. what's okay? I didn't know this about you. You were in bands and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I toured a lot.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Punk rock
bands.
Yeah. What'd you play?
DIY bands.
Can I guess? Hold on. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Were you the singer?
The thing is, you're gonna be right because I've done.
Oh shit! Okay. So, I was gonna say either bass player or singer.
I've did the most with bass, but guitar is my main instrument.
Okay.
Yeah. But
nice.
Yeah. Comedians love making jokes about bass players, and they're almost always wrong.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a drummer.
You are.
Yeah. So oh, cool. I can usually spot the rhythm section out of my friends. Yeah. 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 Usually. That's awesome. What? So you guys toured a lot. Where did it? What places did you guys go to?
Oh, I've toured Canada, Mexico, Europe.
Oh shit!
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's a punk rock show in Mexico?
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Because here's the deal. Like, everybody comes out. Everybody has fun. There's nothing cool about it in a good way.
Right.
Like, it's just... Whenever you play places that are a little less tread, like, people are really excited that you're there.
Right.
Which is kind of a mindfuck because you're really excited to be there. And it's like,
right.
Why are people in Mexico happy to see me? Like, this is so cool.
Right, yeah.
But also, it's totally normal to live with your families. In Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like you go back to somebody's family's house and like their grandma cooks up like some of the best food you'll ever have.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a really cool experience.
I can just see like a bunch of dudes with like mohawks and stuff while Tia's making up chorizo and eggs
yeah.
in the morning.
Exactly. We played this place in Tijuana.
I'm gonna stop you there. Awesome.
And the bar just opened up. It had like a bay door, and it just opened up into a plaza.
Oh, rad.
And it had this real old Spanish-style plaza going on with a fountain that was dried out, and people were just like circle-pitting around the dried-out
oh,
fountain.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, wow. So cool. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. We've had a lot of musicians on, but so bad punk rock shows. What's the worst situation they've put you in? From like they didn't pay you to the green room movie scenario.
Not getting paid would be a long list.
Did you see that movie, The Green Room? It's a punk rock band. They're playing a DIY do it yourself show, and Nazis take over, so they have to kill themselves out of the. Dude, it's phenomenal. You haven't seen it?
No.
Patrick Stewart plays like a neo Nazi.
What?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I have to see.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, see, I yeah, I had encounters with Nazis in Atlanta.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. But the worst show I ever played, I don't know, we played a lot of them, and we called them dog's birthday parties. That was like a little lingo. We'd be like, I can tell this show's going to be a dog's birthday party, which means just a total bust.
Okay.
Right.
Because like, who would want to go to a dog's
birthday party? Okay, right, yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But like the ones, I'm trying to think of like the really bad, I can tell you this one. We played this place in Detroit called the Trumbleplex. And the first song, I stepped on the little disc of the mic stand stays in, and the mic hit me in the face, split open my lip, and then started electrocuting me.
Oh my god!
And then, like,
that is
like,
so punk rock.
It was like direct current, I think, because I had to kick the mic stand off my face. I was just sitting there getting shocked and bleeding.
That is super punk
rock. That is super punk rock. Everyone probably thought you were such a badass. This band's amazing.
Did you see the singer died? That's like when only punk rock was cool
gets
hurt. I was doing a comedy show the other night, and comedy is very, like, not a lot of injuries, but you see that picture?
Ew. Ooh. Justin,
what happened?
So I know this picture is really good for audio, but I'm showing them a picture of my. So I was adjusting the mic stand, and it fell, and it pinched my middle finger. Right,
right.
And I was like, "Oh, that kind of hurt." But I was telling jokes, and I looked down, and there's just drops of blood just splashing onto the stage. And I was like, "Oh, that's bad." So I had to grip my, and I had to do a fist for like 5 minutes. And I got off stage and
blood.
I let it go. And but yeah, blood was just, it was
nice.
Yeah, you can't really pull like a Gigi Allen in comedy. Right. And just wipe it all over your face.
Right. So here's a joke about my mom. This guy's so punk rock.
You fucks on Tinder.
So I'm dating. You can only make a Tinder joke when your fingers are covered in blood.
Yeah.
And you leave it all on stage, huh?
Yep, yep. Just super. It was an open mic. That was the worst part. Like, you never want to. You never have to get stitches after a 5 minute open mic at Cahuenga General Store.
No,
usually that's just emotional pain,
right? Physical pain. That's so cool, though. Speaking of birthday parties, this is a weird segue, but it made me think about our neighbors. We were talking about it before the show. Our neighbors are like these awesome, like weird, like. They're all like key grip, set designer, you know, like shaved head, tattoos, giant beard,
right.
Old school Hollywood guys, right? So they had a kid's birthday party next door, and they invited us. We've never met them before, and they invited us, and we came over, and it was the most extravagant shit I've ever seen in my life. They had a semi-truck that was an arcade parked out right here, right?
What?
Yeah, so you walk inside, the semi is just our old school arcade games.
Nice.
Right?
Oh my
God. Bouncy house,
okay.
Of course.
Right.
A carnival game, right? When you walk in, you win prizes.
Okay.
Okay. Giant swimming pool, a bartender. They've got this tree house that they've built by hand with a slide, right? A trap door that drops down to mesh netting and a cannon that shoots water that's from the set of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
They've got a giant man on stilts making balloon animals.
Jesus Christ.
They're cooking food. Right?
Right.
Then at some point they go, hey, look, and on the roof attached to a zip line is a Power Ranger
that
slides into the party.
Just to hang out.
Dude, it was incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
You know, I would have a blast, but I just have such a problem with rich people that like that was like grinding my soul when you were telling me that, but I would have fun.
But here's the thing, I don't think they're that rich.
Right.
I think they just called in every favor.
Oh, these are just their friends.
Right. Yes.
They're friends of the right. Ziplining Power Ranger.
The zipline was tied to our tree in our backyard. Yeah, it was all just, dudes doing in favors.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just in a wacky business.
Yeah, that's all it was.
That's what it sounds like, because it's so much random shit.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's like, who do we know?
Yeah, right. We'll call all
Power
of them.
Ranger? Yeah, let's do it. Carnival games, why not?
The five-year-old could give a fuck less about
it. Of course.
Five.
Could not care less.
It looked like Billy Madison's graduation.
That's amazing.
Man, 5 years old.
5 years old.
I didn't remember that.
That's amazing.
And all the parents had the custom 5-year-old t-shirts. That, yeah.
What was your 5th birthday party?
I don't even remember.
Exactly.
Absolutely no idea.
Oh, actually, I do remember. Oh. So I had an above ground pool, and we had our friends over, and we went swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that we had like some music playing or something. And that was,
yeah.
And there was no Power Rangers?
There was no Power Rangers. No.
No arcade semi-truck?
Nope. Nope, just a bunch of like white trash Texans swimming in a above ground pool.
It's probably just as fun.
Right, listening to Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer.
Yep.
Just killing it.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Dude, my favorite birthday party I ever had, which was probably the last one, was when I was in fourth grade.
So. Wait, your last birthday party was when you were in fourth grade?
Yeah, I don't really get into that
really?
Stuff.
Really?
Yeah,
Okay.
In fifth grade, you were like, I'm over this shit.
I got a Marilyn Manson shirt in fifth grade, so
okay.
I was over it.
All right.
People were dead to me. No, but the reason why it was so significant, it was just a bowling alley. I got a Fantastic Voyage Coolio single.
Nice.
That
nice.
Was big. Loved that song. And then also... because I was such a weird kid, I went outside and I just sat down on the curb for a minute just to be alone.
Right.
And these two teenagers walked up, this boy and a girl, and the dude goes to his girlfriend, looking at me, goes, show him. And the girl lifted up her shirt, and she had her nipple pierced. And it was the first titty I ever saw.
Beautiful. What a beautiful story.
It was not a source of food, I guess.
Right.
But... I don't need a birthday party after that.
Right. After that, with Coolio and nipple piercings, yeah, you think.
Yeah. Take that, Power Ranger.
God orchestrated that moment. Like, had you walk outside at that moment so that you could see that boob.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story.
And
about destiny.
The thing that messes me up is it like still in my mind, like when I think about it, I'm like, and then I'm like, wait, but she's like 15 and I'm
oh, right, wait, yeah,
right.
31 years old, I can't revisit that memory.
Yeah, you gotta update your bank.
It's like, is my memory a creep?
Update the Spank Bank.
I can't be jerking off to memories of 15-year-olds. I'm 31.
You can. You shouldn't.
Just don't talk about it on podcasts.
Right.
Is all.
I don't think he's heard of the show before. He probably thinks, oh, there's like five people that'll hear this. There's a few more than that.
No,
they just heard that.
No shame.
We had a. It was really crazy, man. I was in West Palm for the 4th of July doing shows, and
I'm still jealous.
It was awesome, by the way. Your city, your hometown.
Yeah,
is
it's rad.
The shit.
It is.
It was. They're all like very wealthy.
Yeah.
Where's West Palm? Is it on the Gulf or the ocean side?
Oceanside.
Oceanside. And like we watched the fireworks on the 4th of July over the ocean. Mm-hmm. And wow, it was really rad. But we had a lady and her husband came to me after the show and was like, you have no idea how excited we are to see you. We came here to see Drew, who is the headliner. She goes, when we saw that you were the opening act, I lost my mind. And I was like, well, how do you know? She goes, I listen to your podcast.
Oh, I love it.
And so she sent me this email and I wanted to read it.
Okay.
You don't ding yourself.
Thank you.
I'm dinging for you.
There you go. Thank you.
So Amy Patterson said, I had no idea you were part of the show with Drew tonight. What an amazing surprise. Made my birthday incredible. My husband and I were the married Marines down front. I was fucking with them. And they were like, we're Marines. I was like, I should probably dial back. We will continue to follow you and your career. You are amazingly talented and made our night. Thank you for all the work and all that you do. You made a great show and made us laugh. My husband is a Purple Heart recipient and hasn't laughed like that in a long time. Best birthday gift ever. Blessings to you and all the comedians on the tour. You gave us such a gift tonight. Thank you.
That's so sweet.
So basically, what I'm saying is I'm just as important as the military.
Right.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for my service.
I'm pretty sure that's what she was saying in that email.
He has a purple heart. You're wearing a purple shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
I say give it up for the troops.
Yeah.
He is a troop. It's kind of
they say laughter is the best military defense.
Right.
Everyone always says that. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, guys. That's sweet.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
What did you, talking about birthdays, do you remember, do you have a birthday party that stands out?
My birthday is, so when I was older, I told you guys about my crazy ass birthdays when I was older, but my birthday is October 29th, so I would always have Halloween parties.
Oh, yeah.
So big ass Halloween costume parties with tons of candy and just running amok all over the neighborhood.
Nice.
I lived in like a little gated community on a cul-de-sac, so we could just run all over like golf courses and just like cause chaos and then come back to the house. So
wrestle a gator.
Yeah, wrestle a gator, get your dog eaten, whatever.
My birthday's on Tuesday.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I'm doing a show on Thursday. Okay, so my birthday is July 19th, so I don't know when this comes out, but the Tuesday of the 19th, but I'm doing a show Thursday, July 14th at Flappers. Mm-hmm. If anybody who's listening wants to come out to that. And then I guess Tuesday, which would be 2 weeks, we're going to go to the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a blast.
I'm very excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be a
blast. I'm assuming like magicians.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I've seen it.
Oh, you've never been?
No. I see it whenever I go to the store, the comedy store.
I highly recommend it. It's
really cool.
It's one of the coolest things, like Hollywood things that I've ever done.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I only did it once, and it was I'm like one of those guys, like I love magic and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm like a black dude, like on the street when they do street magic. Yeah. I like stand up like, oh no, shit. Like I love all of it.
Running away from the trick.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh no, he did! And I punch him. It's like, but any sort of like, even if they make their thumb disappear, like the sliding, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, if you don't want to do that, I know a bowling alley in Maine you can go to where you may or may not see a titty.
As long as it's 15.
Who's piercing a 15-year-old's nipple?
That's what I was going to ask you. That
him?
Like, that's got to be homemade. Him?
Him?
Yeah. Him? Yeah.
He was probably 20, and he probably pierces people for a living, and he's got a 15-year-old girlfriend. He's like, show him.
Show him what I did.
Yeah,
show him.
That's funny. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because that popped in my head. I was like, wait a minute. Is there like a guy that's like specializes in underground 15-year-old piercings?
Yes.
I mean, looking back, I had this friend, David Collins, that I met him in chemistry class. Sophomore year of high school because he stuck a safety pin through his cheek and I was like, oh, that kid's cool.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And he used to rip the last pages out of people's books that they were reading. It's the best prank ever.
Oh my gosh, that's fucking hilarious. Wow.
That's still funny to me.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
David Collins. I remember we skipped school when Joey Ramone died.
Aww. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And our friend Kat was just crying. And I remember being like, all right, calm down. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Know him.
Right. Like,
most of us are just
not your uncle.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's so funny. I love him just ripping the pages out of people's books. So they don't even know how the books end. It's too early, but I was going to try to make a book reference, but I couldn't come up with anything.
But especially back then, because it's not like you could just Google it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You just have to buy a new book.
Right.
Yeah. If we were talking about Grapes of Wrath, it would be good because that last page is weird with the adult breastfeeding. I don't know if you've read Grapes of Wrath.
No.
It's been a long time. I had to read it once.
Yeah. There's like a dude. I don't remember.
That's
anything.
Pretty amazing.
I just remember
adult breastfeeding.
It was adult breastfeeding.
All right.
I was trying to think like what's a book where like the last page is like more like Great Gatsby. What's the one with like a reveal at the end where you don't I lost it.
Is Fight Club a book?
Oh yeah, Fight Club. Okay, yeah. You just think it's a weird guy who can't sleep,
right?
I meant to ask you this because I think we kind of glossed over that. You were a military guy too?
Yeah, briefly. They asked me to leave early.
Really?
Yeah.
You're set.
Tupac Rock?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a long story, but
I fucking love you.
the discharge was personality disorder.
Okay.
Meaning I had oppositional defiance disorder, which is basically a doctor said I was a punk.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Diagnosed.
You're diagnosed as an asshole.
Punk. Yeah. I had a hard time with rules.
What branch were you in?
Army.
You were Army?
Yeah. I was in for 2 years and 10 months.
So you still, that's kind of, you know, you get to say, hey, I tried to serve my country. They just didn't want me.
Right. They said no
I
thanks.
Tried. It was a horrible experience. I mean, like, I was trying to get kicked out really hard.
Right.
Like, originally, it was because my mom was terminally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a discharge called a hardship discharge.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know if they've updated it. It's a very sexist discharge because it's only available to men. If you can go back.
Right.
And if you prove that if one of your parents is so sick and the other parent has to work to keep the money coming in, like he can't afford it, or mom or dad can't afford to take off work, then you can get a discharge that's an honorable discharge to go help take care of the family.
Right.
Okay. Right.
And so my mom was terminally ill and we knew it. Like when she got diagnosed with cancer, she had 11 months diagnosed, right? But we were lying to my colonel saying we didn't know there's a potential that she could get cured.
Okay.
So
okay.
that I could get out and spend the last
9 months
helping out and take care of her.
Sure.
And so my colonel went behind my back and talked to a different doctor, and the doctor didn't know this whole charade we were doing. And he told the colonel that my mom had like 10 months to live or whatever. And so he looked me in the face and he said, you know, we've invested like about $1 million in you. Your mom's only going to last about 9 more months. It's not really worth it to the Army to cut our losses with you to send you home. And so I snapped.
Sure.
Threw his name placard at him.
Right.
They weren't going to let you go home to be with
your
mom?
It wasn't worth it with all the money they've invested in me because I had like a nerd job.
Right.
And so from then on, I was like, nope, fuck you guys.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
And then it turned into MASH. So it's like,
right.
it did. Like, I went AWOL to see Iron Maiden in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh my God. my God.
I was in during Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I had a friend in headquarters who would tell me when the surprise room inspections were happening.
Uh-huh.
And so I knew a room inspection was happening. So I went and got a bunch of gay porn. I swear to God. And I just left it out. And then my first sergeant walks in, he goes, oh, let me guess, you're a fag now. And I go, you asked. And then he punched me in the face.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what other. Oh, I was a straight edge kid, like sober.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I started doing drugs just to fail the drug test in the Army.
Really?
Yeah. First time.
You are so fucking punk rock.
First time I ever did drugs. It was cocaine. Trying to fail a drug test.
Jesus, man.
I didn't even smoke weed.
You were from 0 to 1,000.
Exactly. Smoke some pot. Calm down.
Take some pills.
I did all that.
We got there.
And then I was like, oh, I like drugs.
Right.
You know, like, why haven't I been doing this all along?
That's right. What every straight edge kid that I know has a super straight edge, super judgy, super this, yeah. And then they drink their first beer, and then it's like they're off and running.
Never
like,
mind.
I know so many dudes who have the X's, you know, the straight, with the circle and the line through it because they started partying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I have at least an X tattooed right here.
Do you really?
Yeah. I don't have a line through it, though. That's just too much.
Right.
I don't need everybody to know where I'm at.
Just the void stamp. Yeah, the void stamp on it. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. What do you're a teacher now, right?
I'm not teaching right now. I was a teacher for 6 years in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Teaching preschool. And like,
that's such a weird after hearing all those stories. And yeah. Oh, by the way, I teach preschool. Like, what?
Yes.
And really good at it.
I bet.
I love it. It's the best job I've ever had. But like, I'm trying to go hard at comedy right now.
Sure.
And it's impossible to not care too much.
Right.
About
right.
teaching. And so like, it's just hard to, I need to redistribute my energy better, so I got like a stupid job.
Oh, another nerd job?
No. I'm just office catering.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. With, there's a bunch of comedians that work there.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. What was it like teaching preschool?
You know, I really, really, I liked it, but it was like a weird, like San Francisco, like kind of alternative school. So super into like the fact that we all had tattoos and were weirdos and stuff, teaching their kids. But I also, like, I went to CCSF, Community College San Francisco, for, like, early childhood development.
Uh-huh.
And I got into, like, the whole, like, developmental theories and stuff. And, like, and you can really, like, to go from school to immediately practicing it the next day, it was cool, man. It was, like, you could actually see kids developing and you know what's going on because you've studied it.
Right.
It's just so fun to help them turn into adults, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. But, you know, I got hired at a school here for a moment in LA. I moved here in November.
Oh shit!
And I got hired at a school, and then quickly fired.
really? Too much gay porn?
I wish. The owner said that the owner was basically uncomfortable with the fact that I was a comedian with a Twitter account.
The
parents could Google me. And also there was no men in the school. And I think she was weird about that.
Oh, okay.
And in an interview, she was like, have you ever had a problem with being a man in a classroom? And I'm like, no.
Right.
There's lots of male preschool teachers. Like, what are you even insinuating?
Right.
Right.
Like it was.
That's strange.
So I get a phone call and they said I failed the FBI background check.
Really?
Which is not crazy.
Maybe.
I love how you're like, yeah, it could be right.
Yeah, but I know it wasn't because I was a teacher for 6 years.
Right.
I
haven't
had a run in with the law in 3-4 years now.
Right. Okay.
And so nothing's...
That's not a super long time.
That's not a long time.
It is before I've had an, because you renew your background checks at school and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was bullshit because, and so also, I guess when they were lying to me about the FBI background check, they didn't realize that there's the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because I could just Google FBI background check. Turns out it's just an office in Virginia.
Oh.
Right.
And I just called them and they were like, well, if you fail an FBI background check, you'll get a letter and they'll score you get a letter. I was like, I never got a letter.
It's like when you get a credit card, they have to send you your credit score.
Right.
So I never got a letter and I called them and they were like, oh, yeah, it turns out something came up, but it doesn't prohibit you from working in a classroom, but like we can't see it. And I was like, stop lying to me.
Right.
I was on the phone with them. You would be able to see it and I would be able to see it. I know how this works.
Right.
And then they were like, and then they like called me back a week later and were like, we'd like to offer you the job. And I was like, no.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was such a weird thing. And I have an insane preschool resume. Like I worked at a really good school for 6 years.
Right.
Had two letters of recommendations from two different directors and like parents, like, I don't know. You can Yelp the school and my name comes up a bunch and stuff.
Wow.
There was no way I was unqualified. And so I think they came to their senses and I was like, no, I'm not taking the job.
They were probably terrified you were going to sue them, especially if they don't have any other male teachers.
Right. Yeah. People keep asking about that discrimination thing. And I was like, I just, it seems like a headache.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, it does. 100%. Yeah. You don't want me there. I don't want to be there. No big deal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You get, what are you going to sue a school in Los Angeles and get $12?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
not gonna exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think in the long run, it was good because, you know, now I like have a job I don't care at all about.
Right.
And so I can just keep my
Those are the best
Absolutely.
Jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love your whole career that you've just told us. You were too punk rock for every job except for the preschool and kindergarten or in San Francisco.
In San Francisco. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes a lot of like kids who had trouble in school become teachers.
Right.
I don't know. It's something you notice. Yep. It's like a pattern.
Teachers and therapists, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's because like...
comedians, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. But you're like drawn to it because you know how those kids feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can be more empathetic and you can relate to them more because like you see the kid, the weird kid sitting by himself outside of his birthday party.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, I know this
right.
kid's
Show him your titty, honey.
Yeah, 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 sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Get my girlfriend to show him my titty.
Then you get an FBI report. And, yeah, I get it.
Blah, blah, blah.
Let me ask you this. What popped in your head when they were like something came up? What was there was something that you were like that could be on there?
Oh, I've been arrested a bunch of times.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I've never
okay.
been convicted of anything.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, I've been arrested for shoplifting.
Sure.
Been arrested for I set a Bible on fire in a hotel room in South Carolina.
Okay.
And it like caught flames, like really, it really ignited.
Right. Yeah.
It was rice paper.
Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah. Who would have thought?
So I had to run outside in the hallway, and I was stomping on this burning Bible.
Oh, my
Carolina.
God.
The
in South Carolina.
Yeah, the janitor saw me and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Jesus.
When I was in the Army, I was throwing snowballs at George Bush's limo during an inauguration.
Really?
What the hell, man?
I got put in the plastic handcuffs.
Get your act together.
No, it's George Bush. Everyone's like, yeah, we understand.
Yeah. Like, look, we have to do it. We don't like him either.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're just going to put you in cuffs as a formality, but yeah, hey, yeah. Good job.
Right.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. But never, I mean, the shoplifting thing was actually bullshit. I was with somebody who was shoplifting.
Oh, guilty by association. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was somewhere. Oh, I was pretty young. I was maybe somewhere between 7 to 10 years old. And we were traveling around. My dad used to play pro ball. So we would travel with him throughout the summer wherever he was playing. And we went somewhere in the South to a mall. And I was young and super punk rock and had 900 rings on. So I took all of my rings off and I put them in my pocket. And I started trying on rings at this store with my mom.
Sure.
Right?
Was it Claire's?
No, it was like a department store,
gotcha.
Whatever, like a Macy's or a Dillard's or some shit. And I started trying on all of these rings, right? Never going back into my pocket. I took them off, put them in my pocket, was trying all these different things on or whatever, and then put them down. It was time for us to go somewhere else. I had two in my hand that I was going to buy and was walking to check out. My mom had a bunch of stuff she was going to buy too to go check out. And they come out and they grab me and brought me in the back and were interrogating me and all of this stuff. And then they went over the actual videotape and they freaked out because they knew that it could turn into an absolute shit show. And my dad's right. like, nope, we're in town with the Braves and like, oh. and all of it. And they were like, because they were afraid that right. it was racial profiling and that they were going to get in a bunch of trouble. So I got like a bunch of gift cards to that place and
Did
got
you
to go.
Really?
Absolutely. I got to go on a freaking shopping spree at that
wow.
place. Yep.
I feel like they weren't afraid it was racial profiling. It just was.
It just was.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
They were afraid they were going to get caught for the right, thing yeah. that they had yeah. done. Yeah. So it was really interesting. But yeah, I got to go get a bunch of stuff. I was like, just got to go get a bunch of new clothes and bought all the rings I wanted to. It was pretty cool.
I stole a bunch of CDs from Circuit City one time, which I think everybody, I think that's why they're out of business.
Yeah.
But I put them, I had the JNCO jeans, the big jeans.
Oh, yeah, you
and,
did.
Absolutely.
I put a bunch of like, I think like 9-inch nails and whatever.
Right.
And,
yeah, yeah. Whatever right. JNCO jeans require.
Right.
Right.
Lip Biscuit CDs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got home and I actually felt really bad about it. And so I told my mom what I did. And she was kind of pissed, but she looked like it was, she'd go in there and we'll return it. And so we went to return it, and the lady was like, we really appreciate your honesty. We'd love to offer you a $50 gift card to the store. And my mom was like, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah.
No, yeah. No. Get your ass out. You know, then I got fucking so much trouble with my mom. But right. She was like, no, you're not giving this. You're not rewarding this asshole.
For bringing back the shitty store?
Yeah, right.
That's so twisted.
It's the weirdest shit in the world. I was like, because I got excited. I was like, oh, cool. And she's like, no. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess no.
Right, I guess not. Thank you, though.
I'm like, I'm trying to raise this thing. Right. What are you doing?
Trying to raise this monster. You're getting him gift cards.
Like your initiation to being white in America.
Right. Yep.
Thank you for your honesty. Oh, that's great. So you're doing comedy now. How long have you been doing comedy?
A few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Only a few?
Yeah.
I thought you've been doing it like a really long time.
No. I wanted to do it when I was younger, and I did it. I was doing it in Atlanta for briefly.
Okay. Did you do the punchline?
No, I never got to that point. Okay. And then I got swept up in music stuff.
Oh, okay.
And that
right.
just lasted an amazingly amount, like way too long. I
right.
hung in way too long.
Sure.
And then kind of transitioned into comedy. But like, I think, you know, I've been on stages my entire
It's the same thing. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But I don't ever want to be I don't want it to be obvious that I play. You know how there's those comedians who like.
The rock star comics?
Yeah. 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 Like, yeah. I don't. It's like, they're always awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
They always have way too much confidence. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, I don't want it to be. I mean, I guess I'm covering tattoos and stuff, but I don't want it to be like. I don't want to be the musician comic.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I worked with a comic one time. He was like, he used to be in it, and he would wear like eyeliner, yeah. And I'm like, dude, this is comedy, you know?
Right.
Like, this is not like he would paint his nails black. I'm like, all right, come on, let's calm down.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, we're at a bar in Arkansas. Like, it's not
right.
This is not Staples Center. Right, yeah, it's not Staples Center.
And don't you feel like in comedy that people connect to your insecurities more so than
the
like
confident guy?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why the new trend of like the cool guys that are now comics. Like yeah. I respect what they do, but I also kind of have a little problem with it.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
Like the really good looking model guys that want to do stand up and stuff. It's like, okay, but because it's like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's for like the fuck ups and the,
yeah.
And,
right.
and the weirdos.
I mean, no sense of humor if like just everything's falling into your lap.
Right.
Your whole
yeah.
life.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
And that's why I think really hot comics girls struggle a little bit because mm-hmm. it's like, so dating's hard, and the audience is like, well, is it really for you?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
it?
Right. You know.
Liza Schlesinger talks about that a lot.
Yeah, and she's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she also acknowledges that. And I think she does a pretty decent job of
if you acknowledge it and be like, I know this sounds weird. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw you at the Improv the other night. You were very funny, man. You crushed.
Thank you.
Yeah. Would you, have you been able to travel doing comedy yet?
I did comedy in Europe.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was living in Berlin for a little bit before I moved to LA and, did some shows around Germany and, Belgium.
How was that?
It was awesome.
Really?
I mean, well, like, there's a few things that are frustrating about it is that because like you got to be a little broader than you want to be and a little more general.
Okay.
Because
right.
like you can't make, because there are a lot of people speak English there, but they might be Australian or from New Zealand
right.
or from England or whatever. And so a lot of stuff, you know, you can't be too referential mm-hmm. about American stuff. And
right.
like there was a lot of stuff that I couldn't really do that I wanted to do there because it wouldn't have made sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was a good challenge to figure out how to make like a room full of people who the only thing they have in common is that they speak the same language. But other than that, they're from completely different areas.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But I had, you know, honestly, I had an amazing time and there was just so much stage time.
Uh huh.
And like, I really got to like, and it's always audience. It's just always audiences
what's
there.
What's that like? Music shows in Tijuana are awesome. Comedy shows in Berlin are amazing.
Now you know.
Listen, my life's a mess. Let's not make me sound like I'm living large. All right.
It's the world traveler over here.
I have a 91 Corolla that has several colors. It is full of garbage.
Beautiful.
It's like my brain. I'm not living large. I got a job in Berlin. I just decided to do it. I just went over there. I got a job.
That's awesome.
Taking care of some kids, homeschooling some kids.
No shit.
Yeah,
awesome.
They were autistic kids. And, Germany has no facilities for dealing with learning disabilities.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they don't get into public schools, a lot of these kids.
Right.
So I homeschooled these two kids. I was making good money, rich kids.
And you went by yourself?
Yep.
Wow.
But I knew some people out there.
Oh, you already knew people out there?
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
okay. From music and stuff.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I immersed myself in comedy out there, and it was awesome.
That's so rad.
That's
rad. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And pretty much anywhere you go in the world, there's other people who are like teaching English or they're on military or like you're always able to meet people, and it makes community so quickly because everyone's trying to find a sense of home,
right?
You know, no matter where you are. So
I used to perform at a lot of hostels,
right?
And it was kind of the same thing where it's like, if you can make these people laugh, like, it's because they're all from different places. And you know, I don't do a lot of physical comedy, so that's even, because if you can do that, then they just love that. So just your word, you have to be very careful with your words and your references and stuff.
I will say, doing comedy in Berlin, one thing it really made me self-conscious of, or not self-conscious of, but being aware of, is that a lot of comedians got rewarded with just the most basic stereotypes, and it would just kill me. Germans are famous for being on time, being punctual, loving rules, and it was just so many jokes about, like, Germans are always on time, and people are like,
oh, really?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, fuck you.
Germans on time is like the Asian bad driver.
They love rules or customer service. What a joke. You know,
it's such a weird, like, you know what I mean? Like, where are my on time people at?
I know.
Paying your bills and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why you're a BET comic in Germany right now. Where my on time people at?
That's Justin's go to voice.
Yeah. Paying your bills and shit. I see you.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I was like, you have to challenge yourself to get better there, because anybody could crush there.
Oh, okay. Oh.
With the most basic level stuff.
See, I would never leave. Are you shitting me?
I'll dumb it down.
I would listen back to recordings and I'd be like, why did they laugh at that? That was bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, you're really critical about it.
Yeah. Hey, I have a couple of throwaway lines that, like, it always works, and every time it works, I just get mad at the audience for it. I'm like, oh.
Idiots.
You idiots. Sheep.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny. Are you dating? Are you seeing anybody right now?
No, not right now.
No?
No. Okay. I don't really care about all that stuff anymore, man. The last few relationships I had were disasters.
Okay.
I'm totally fine. I like being alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like choosing which side of the bed I sleep on, what I watch.
Yeah.
Just being in complete control.
Right.
I love it.
No more Taking Back Sunday concerts for you. Right. No more Dave Matthews in the park.
I have no fear of dying alone.
Right, good.
At all.
Good.
Like, I'm like, that sounds blissful.
Nice.
Yeah. So
we do some dating and relationship stuff on this show, and I'd love for you to weigh on this one. We got an email. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, it's about it's a very long one. The gist of it is, speaking of shopping, actually, this is a great segue. Went on a rare shopping excursion and tried on some nice shirts. The sales girl was very helpful and friendly, of course. I may have caught some vibes from her that I don't normally get from salespeople. Anyway, I'm wondering, I didn't make a move. I walked out of the store, but I'm wondering if I should make a return trip to the store. I ended up buying a shirt from the store, so I have a cover story to use in case the same girl is working there. So I'm just going on a hunch here, that and the fact I had this girl stuck in my head over the long weekend. Just seeing what your guys' thoughts are on hitting on service industry or customer service employees. Is it a do or don't? Thanks. Christy? Brian, you want to go first?
Sure.
What's your idea?
It's a big don't.
Okay.
Is it commission at that store, I wonder? I mean, I know it doesn't say that in there, but
probably shirts, probably not.
Okay.
It's probably like a Forever 21 or H&M type
of deal.
Just
listen to the story from a business point of view.
Right.
I feel like this woman was flirting with me, so I bought a shirt.
Right.
So I had a reason to come back.
Right.
Like, you just ate out of her hand.
Yeah.
Also, that's what customer service is. It's a fake familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to make you feel comfortable. It's such a classic story. I have so many friends who think baristas are hitting on them. And I'm just like, no. That's not. Like,
She wrote my name on the cup, though, bro.
Yeah. She's wrote it with a Y, not an I. How did she know?
I thought it was a great question because you're out – you're out in public all the time, right? You're at bars all the time.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, I don't know if it should be restricted just because they are working there. If you're catching vibes from a person, I think the worst thing, I would say go for it. If there's a bartender that I'm vibing with or a waitress, you know, or I an employee at like the mall is a little weird for me, but you know, mm-hmm. there's so many cute chicks that work at Sunglass Hut. So, right. I mean, it's a great way to start a conversation. I would right. say it's a definite no. What do you think?
So, you know, my rule is that if you know, my general rule is that if you know somebody and you want to ask them out on a date, never leave it open-ended. Don't do something random. Say, I would like to take you out to dinner, maybe next Thursday or maybe next weekend. Like, are you available? Like, ask them out on a date on at a specific time.
Right.
With situations like this, I would say go with something where there's no expectations, where right. there's no risk involved. Go in with your business card or write your name down on something and say, hey, it was really nice talking with you the other day. We never even talked about if you're seeing. So like, you know, no pressure sure. at all. But if, you know, if you're interested, I would love to take you out sometime. Here's my number just in case you're interested.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just something really casual. Give her the number. Never think about it again. Don't right. wait around for a call.
Right. Yeah.
She could be married. She could have a boyfriend. You don't know. But why not just put it out there? You never know what's going to happen.
See, I agree. I agree too. I don't think that's completely off limits, but yes, it is hard, especially when they're smiling and they're flirting. Right. And they, oh, you look right. great in that shirt, you know, blah 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 blah. But yes, they probably get hit on all the time, but they probably also don't. A lot of people might be, you know, intimidated. I know that I've been to stores where I'm like, that girl's really cute, and like chat, and then just walked out and like kicked mm-hmm. myself. Like I should at least, you know, bantered with her a little bit. But
right,
here's my thing: if you're the kind of person who sends an email wondering if somebody's hitting on you, you might not be good at reading things. But people who do meet a lot of people probably are a little bit better at feeling out vibes.
Right.
You know? So yeah. I'm just wondering, the kind of person who reaches out to strange... Well, I guess this is rude. Never mind.
No. That's fair. No, that's fair. No, if you're the type of person who writes into a podcast for a relationship, she might not have been giving you vibes.
I don't think she was hitting on you, dog.
You guys are the worst.
No. I'm so sorry. No, we appreciate you.
You guys are the worst.
We're just fucking with you. Go back in there. Pull your dick. Not literally pull your dick out. Go back in there. But what does he do now? Does he exchange the shirt?
No, don't make up a big story about it. Don't put a lot of pressure around it. Don't make it a big, you don't need a cover story. Don't do any of that shit. Pull out your business card, say, you know, no pressure. I just had a really nice time chatting with you. I would right. love to take you out sometime next week. Here's my card. If you're interested, right. give me a call.
Yeah, and that's it.
I worked as a bartender for a really long time. And I know that sometimes people would sit there or they'd come in like really often and just kind of like chat. And like the pickup lines. And that is something that can get really frustrating.
Sure.
I would rather someone come in super confident. Even if I'm not interested in the person, I'd still be like, oh, that was cool.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's still going to have be received positively.
Okay. So let me say that, and we'll end it here. As a very beautiful, attractive woman, mm-hmm. single, working at a bar mm-hmm. when you were bartending.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Not.
Okay.
Yes. Not. Obviously married Christy, but
right.
in the day, were you completely off limits to customers, or if a nice charming guy came in and asked you, was it available?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's never, yeah, there you go.
All
right. Awesome. Hey, thanks for coming on. Oh, I appreciate no it, man. Yeah. Did you have a good time?
Yeah. I got about 7 baristas to go ask out now.
There you go.
He's leaving here and going straight to Starbucks.
Oh, shit.
That's amazing. How can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian Vokey, BryanVokey. You can find me on Facebook. I don't got a website or anything like that yet because it would be really sad if I.
Fair enough.
But look out for me.
Yeah, do you got any shows coming up you want to plug?
I'm doing the 6 in Studio City on Monday, this Monday at 8 o'clock.
Awesome.
It's a $5 show. It's got a killer lineup. I can't remember everybody's name, but it's a solid show.
And it's this Monday. So
this Monday.
Tonight.
Yeah. Tonight when this episode comes out. Yeah.
Go see
Brian. Go see me Thursday at Flappers, July 14th. For our show, visit us, Foster the Podcast on iTunes. Subscribe to Foster the Podcast on there. Visit our website, fosterthepodcast.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.